Have you seen the first Christmas Chronicles? Well, there's a part two with more of everyone's favorite chipmunk looking ass elves with bombs this time. There's freaking bombs in this movie. Anyway, it's Christmas Chronicles part deux. It was directed by Christopher Columbus, this movie. Okay.
We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas and a sappy new year.
Hello! Oh, Christmas tree! Oh, Christmas tree! Welcome to Netflixmas. I am one of your hosts, Scarlett Alexandra.
I'm also one of the hosts, Holly Cuomo.
Holly? Holly?
Scarlett. Hi. Hey, I'm actually drinking alcohol tonight.
I was drinking alcohol. I should get my wine bottle, but now it's too late.
Yeah. That's made okay. Coquito.
Holly, wait, what's that I see? I see some Christmas elves dragging a body that's bound in tinsel. And oh no, it looks like these elves have kidnapped this poor man. Oh, get away, elves, get away. Get away, elves. Oh no, I'll unwrap you, you poor man. Oh my God. Oh my God, it's Jerry!
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for saving me.
You're so welcome. I did nothing, and I just watched what happened, and I pointed and laughed.
Well, thank you, Scarlett.
What are those elves up to these days? Oh my God. Wow. How did you get yourself in that situation, Jerry?
You know, you make a couple of comments here and there, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're wrapped in tinsel. It's like a great after-work party.
Well, it's good to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun talking to y'all.
We're crazy.
Crazy.
We're Christmas crazy. We're Chris Kringle crazy.
Well, if you got to be crazy, that's the kind of crazy to be.
Yeah. So, did you watch this movie, Jerry?
I did. Yeah.
Did you watch it with your kids?
No. I watched it by myself first to make sure it was okay for them to watch.
Yeah, because it is rated PG.
Yeah.
And it is directed by Christopher Columbus. You don't know what that man gets up to.
He gets up to Home Alone, but then he goes like Rent, and so then you kind of aren't sure. I don't know, because Rent is amazing, but his version.
The thing I don't like about Rent, and spoiler here, I really hate it when people die and come back to life. Like, I hate it. It makes me feel gross. It's also like when people break up and then they get back together. Come on, like High Fidelity and like that one with Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger. That was like in the 50s. I hate it. I hate it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Down with Love.
Yeah.
Come on.
I love Down with Love.
I saw it in theaters. I was pissed at the end. I liked it.
I do like High Fidelity, though.
I like the TV show better.
I haven't seen that. I'll have to check it out.
It's you don't watch it for your children.
Okay.
Wait a second.
That's the deal. He's
making The Goonies 2?
They've been talking about it for a while. Yeah.
I knew there was like a Goonies 2 video game, right?
With like the original cast and everything.
Oh dear.
Oh my God, with Josh Brolin again. Is this Christopher Columbus? Wait.
Well, it was Richard Donner who directed the first one.
Yeah, Christopher Columbus is he's one of the writers on the Goonies 2.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, he also wrote was one of the writers on Gremlins 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he does a lot of second movies.
Young Sherlock Holmes. Oh, he was one of the writers of the Goonies.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Christopher Columbus is like long legacy, and
he actually Harry Potter he made stuff. It his name as a writer before he actually started like directing. That was like his thing. And so then they finally like gave him a chance, and his first, his like directorial debut was like a crazy bomb or something like that. I don't know if it was his first or his second, but it was like terrible. And so he was literally like, I'm going to have to like go back to writing. And then eventually John Hughes gave him a chance and Home Alone.
Wow. Well, yeah, he was Adventures in Babysitting, Home Alone. Oh my God. Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And he directed this piece of garbage? What? Why? They shelled out a lot of movie for this subpar script for him to direct it? Come on. Sorry, I was, okay, full disclosure here, guys. And the audience knows, if, you know, they've listened to our episodes, that I'm a very honest person. I'm honest, I'm always going to be honest. Here's the thing, is I fell asleep during this movie. I really did. I also thought that I fell asleep for like maximum of 10 minutes. Looking at the cast, I fell asleep for a lot longer than that. There is a big chunk. And then she also said something at the end of like, yeah, and I got to meet her dad as a kid. And I'm like, what?
What?
So there is a large part of the middle that I am just missing from my memory. But it was just so slow. It was just going so slow and it was so boring.
I
can definitely see that. So I had paused it. It felt like it was about to wrap up, and I paused it, and there was like 30 minutes left, and I just looked at my husband. He's like, it's a Chris Columbus movie. Of course it's going to be long as fuck. And I'm like,
yeah, you got a point.
Like, it's I thought I fell asleep for 10 minutes, and it must have been like 30 to 45.
I thought this movie was fine. I saw it twice. The first time I was doing crafts, and I kind of missed a couple things, but then the second time, which I just watched it just now, I paid very close attention and even recognized the Hawken, the head old man elf,
his which voice, is Malcolm McDowell. Dowell.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good get.
That's yeah, I was like, is that Malcolm McDonald? McDowell? See, now I'm saying it wrong. Is that Malcolm McDowell? And Derek's like, it sure is. And I was like, I'm so smart.
I like that they just get like one of the most hardcore actors. And they're like, hey, you want to play Christmas Elf? And he's like, all right.
No, that dude's crazy. And he'll do whatever for money.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many quid do I get?
He's in that new series, that ghosty series with Nick Frost. He plays his dad.
That sounds and awesome.
I rewatched a couple episodes. It was cool. I'm not into like super scary things, but he was also in a documentary I watched. I think it was called Skin, and it's a documentary about nudity in film throughout film. Hmm. And he's been nude, and he's been in movies where
Because he was in Caligula.
Yeah, he was mm-hmm. Caligula, and yeah. He refused to be naked for that movie. He was like, no, everybody else is naked because I'm the crazy one. So he was wild in that documentary. And he was in the Clockwork Orange.
Before we go further, I got to ask, like, what do y'all think of Snake Plissken as like Santa? I mean,
it's hot. I love it. I love it. A bad boy Santa.
He's redefined the Santa role for me. And then if somebody were just like, you know, 2 years ago came up to me and were like, hey, do you think Santa's sexy or could he ever be sexy? I'd be like, no, fuck off. But then you put Kurt Russell in that role and I'm like, well.
You know what it reminds me of? So I watched this documentary, or it's not really a documentary, it's this reenactment show about Colonel Sanders and how much of a badass he was in real life. He would like shoot people and shit. It was tight.
Did you see?
Yes, that's what I'm about to talk about. So their Lifetime is coming out with a movie with Mario Lopez as Colonel Sanders.
I did see that, yeah.
Oh my God.
I thought that was fake. It looks so fake.
It's real, to my knowledge. I'm into it. What are you doing? I have a romance novel based on Colonel Sanders that was put out by KFC. I didn't read it. I think I skimmed it for any dirty parts, and there wasn't any. So I was like,
it reminds me of that episode of Community when they get the KFC space simulator.
Oh my god, the simulator! Oh, it's so good.
The 11
herbs. It's so good. That's one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Me too. I love Community. Yeah.
Oh, watched like a season.
And then also Fox News, like the Fox News Corporation is also coming out with their own Chris, like not Fox, because like they separated. So right. Like the Fox News Network, I guess it's now is like FNN, and then like Searchlight Fox, like separated. They're different things now. Right. So Fox News Network is now come out with their own original Christmas movie, stop which is available it. Exclusively on their online, like Fox News Network, which you have to subscribe to. Which I was like, oh, I want to see it, and then I was like, no, and then I have to give Fox News my information.
Just give them your ex's information.
There you go.
Julian Dennison was in this one too.
Yeah, the Wilder People boy.
Oh my god, I kept calling him Ricky Baker because like someone was like, Julian Dennison's in it, and I was like, who? Ricky Baker? Oh,
and he's a creepy little elf too.
He wasn't little.
He played such a similar role as to his role in Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They were both kind of bratty.
Which I had. So I actually watched Deadpool 2 recently too, so I recognized him immediately. And with both movies, they just don't address why the fuck he's from New Zealand.
I'm fine with that,
but like I don't know.
Well, like the elves are from Turkey, but they have like a Scandinavian accent. We know someone that's of Turkish descent, Jerry. So
New Zealand isn't Scandinavian.
No, but I was just trying to segue that we know a prince from Turkey.
Yes.
we're close friends.
I haven't heard the episode yet, but I did see all the publicity for it, so I am excited to listen.
He's so funny and dreamy. Anyway, so Julian Dennison was great as a little brat.
He is. And of course, Goldie Hawn, the indomitable longtime partner of Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
She's so and she's
overboard every day, all day long.
I saw The First Wives Club.
That's a good one,
for the first time this year.
Oh. So
I used to love House Sitter. That was like my favorite Goldie Hawn movie. If you've never seen it, it's awesome. House Sitter with... what's his name? Steve Martin.
Ooh, yeah. Funny.
I remember seeing that in the theater.
Someone on my friends list was like, Overboard and Christmas Chronicles 2 take place in the same universe. And I was like, what?
Why?
What? I started thinking about it and I was like, rabbit hole. Oh, speaking of rabbit holes. So my theory is not necessarily disproven from the last movie.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe we can shift, you know, the dad's parents are Santa to the dad's grandparents are Santa. Because he was vacationing he was spending Christmas with his grandparents in Miami. And where do Santa and Mrs. Claus go for vacation? I don't know, I'm just saying.
I don't hate that theory, even though I don't really know what you're talking about, because I fell asleep for the entire time that we met the dad.
It was from our last episode.
I remember that. I just don't know what happened with the dad.
They time travel. Yeah.
Yeah, they time travel. Did you miss that part?
There's a wormhole and there's time travel. And there's magic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a Christmas insane. Movie. There's got to be magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of magic, Jazeera Bruno, who played Jack, was the kid in Witches, the new one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen that one yet, I've heard mixed reviews.
Me too.
Okay, so I prefer too, the first one.
That's putting it nicely.
I prefer the first one. They changed a little bit of the second one. The ending is what the author would have wanted. It's not what the people would have wanted. It's what the author would have wanted. And they didn't honor that in the first movie. but they're honoring it in the second movie.
I'm not with that.
Specific way that ends in the book, and Roald Dahl didn't approve it before he died.
Yeah, Roald Dahl is a dark motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Also, Darlene Love is in this one too.
Where the fuck was she? Was I asleep for that too?
Yeah. She was in the time travel scene. There was a whole musical scene.
No! Darlene Love.
Yeah. She sang a song in an airport in Boston in 1990.
She killed it too.
Yeah. She was in Holiday Rush, which that episode came out today, Monday, while we're recording. So go listen to that one. She's amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah. And she's wearing that dress in Holiday Rush too. Just like, oh, that floored me. Yeah. Floored me.
Santa like changes her outfit from like a airport worker to like a beautiful, sexy Christmas song vixen. Tyrese Gibson's also in this movie.
Right?
Who
I kept thinking him to like fight some Transformers through like the whole thing.
Yeah. So in the early 2000s, Tyrese was a singer / model.
Yes.
And he's in the Fast and Furious movies.
I haven't seen any of these movies that he's in, but he is a hot seat mama jamma.
I remember when Tyrese was strictly singer / model, and then he's gotten to acting.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Stella? Stella Got Her Groove Back. Was it that
probably
one?
I don't know. He's fine, but he had he had an episode, like a mental breakdown, like either earlier this year or last year. I don't know. Time's crazy, and I think he has beef with The Rock. He wasn't asked back for Hobbs and Shaw, and The Rock got his own movie.
Well, a lot of them weren't franchise. Really asked back for Hobbs and Shaw. It was more like a spinoff. So, I mean, I get it, but, like, why would he hold a grudge then?
I don't. Cause? Tyrese is, you know, Tyrese is fine. He can get mad.
He is real cute, and he was a really good singer, too. Like, his, that last bit with him singing at the moon.
Yeah.
And then the assault of Northern Lights in Cancun.
I enjoyed this movie, but it was, for me, it was just like a solid like 6, you know, like not really, you know, just kind of in the middle. There's nothing like fantastic about it. Nothing like terrible about it. I think they tried to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It was like they just crammed it all in there. And so it was just really odd.
The fact that I fell asleep for the entire time that they would time traveled. That's insane.
I have 9 pages of notes. And at the end, I started looking up.
I took 0 notes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have to do it because I'm leading it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I would
not have.
That's a lot. That's a lot of plot things happening.
There's
essentially 2 different plots in the movie. And then they start in the beginning. There's 2 different plots. And then they meet at the end.
That's a good description. Yeah.
Okay, can we just jump into this damn
plot? Yeah, let's do it. I'm down.
I will. Can I say something about like one of the very first things that we see?
Absolutely.
Which, so it like starts with a storybook opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it says like the story of, hold on. The story of Bell's nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that? Do they discuss that later on?
Yes.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You missed a lot.
You missed.
Okay, I missed a lot. God damn, I missed a lot.
Pause. Go finish watching it. We'll come back.
Holy fuck. Okay, never mind. Let's keep going.
It's funny because on the Tizza podcast episode from last week, they had a lot of issues with the whole Belschnickel mythology, like tampering. I have no like history with Belschnickel. I've only heard them talk about it on that show. So to me, it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm fine with it.
Is Belschnickel like a real like?
It's like a real tradition, yeah, like a real historic tradition from like what the 17th, 18th century,
I'm
something like that.
I'm not doing background. I had to watch this goddamn movie twice. I'm not doing background.
I mean, it does seem they pulled a lot because like including the Yule Cat. And even the sort of like language of the elves all seems like it's very pulled from sort of like Icelandic culture, sort of like Norwegian-ish.
Yeah.
Norwegish culture.
Oh, them. Yeah.
You know, Norwegians?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
man, this movie, I
it was, yeah. I mean, I still kind of enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Like, half of me is like, this fucking movie. The other half is like, it was cute.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am too. Yeah. Like wow, okay, really. I mean, like, there was a lot of plot points that, like, you totally could predict, you know, like, you mm-hmm. knew this, they set it up, like, they weren't even clever at all. You knew it's exactly what was going to happen, and then it happened. But at the same time, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. I dig it, you know, that yeah. kind of thing. And that's about it.
That's yep, yep, 100% agree.
It's so weird because the first one, yeah, it was problematic, but I really enjoyed the first one because it reminded me a lot of like Adventures in Babysitting, you know, which I loved as a kid. And so it had that same vibe. It was Adventures in Babysitting just with Santa. This one, it like went in a whole different direction. You know, it was just like let's just dive into like mythology and magic and which is cool. I love that stuff. But the way they did it was just so like, I don't know, slipshod and haphazard. And it just... You know, it was like, let's throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, kind of a thing. And,
oh, man, everything stuck.
And then everything stuck. That's exactly right. Like, they did, like, a lottery of, you know, they just had a hat and put a bunch of ideas in and start putting them out. Like, whoa, we're going to have time travel in this movie? What else are we going to have, you know?
I think someone was like, Chris Columbus, should we have this? He's like, yeah, we'll fucking put it in. Should we do this? Oh, we'll find a place for it.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man, you did miss a lot, Scarlett. I can't wait for me to tell you what happens because it's so wild.
That's so much. Because, like, the message was so simple, which is, like, you know, you shouldn't be a dick to your mom when she's dating somebody new and is in love with them. Like, that's her entire lesson, like, which is a super simple lesson.
Yeah, spend Christmas with the ones you love.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The message is, I miss my dad. I wish mama wouldn't bang this new dude, even though he's insanely hot. Like, I get it.
Nice, yeah.
Like, if that's like the one overarching message and they have to go through like several different plot lines to even get her to that sort of character arc completion, oh boy, that sounds like a three-ring circus to me.
It kind of was, yeah.
So like she gets that epiphany in the middle, but like so much shit happens.
Yeah, so much more happens. Yeah.
So much more happens. She has to save Christmas before she can get to it. And then I will go over it. I have 9 pages of notes. Let's get cracking. I'm already tired of this movie.
No more nutshelling. Okay. Let's get into it.
we see Ricky Baker looking at a pic of Santa and Mrs. Claus, and he says that they're the first and last humans he'll ever trust. That's how the story opens with that bell snickle thing. I call him Ricky Baker.
I thought they were elves.
Santa and Mrs. Claus, not in this story.
Okay, they're not elves.
Yeah. I just call him Ricky Baker because that's how I know Julian Dennison.
That's fine.
So he has a henchman named Speck, and he hands him a VHS tape dated 12/24/18, which is from the last movie.
Yep.
And it's Kate saying, I am a true believer. I'll come from a long line. And Ricky Baker's like, I must get the true believer. Because she's my key. She's my key back. So now we're in Mexico.
That was an awesome New Zealand accent.
I know.
Sure, bro. Oh, man. Now we're in Mexico, and Kate says Christmas is lame because it's hot and she wants snow, and mom is now with Tyrese, aka Bob, and they're on vacation.
Yeah, fuck her, because one of the best Christmases that I ever had was I was on a cruise ship, middle of the fucking Caribbean, on Christmas. Fuck y'all, that was awesome.
I wish, oh, man. So we meet the son, which we didn't get his name until a little bit later, but in the captions it was just like Bob's son for the longest time before they named him. I was like, how rude. So we meet Jack, which is Bob's son, and he makes a comment about how Kate's mom might propose to Bob because she's a progressive woman. And I was like, I did not know the word progressive at that age, let alone speak like that.
He's supposed to be like the bookworm, yeah, you know, kind of nerdy, you know.
Allergic to everything, has anxiety and allergies.
The Urkel kid, you know.
Yeah.
Gen Z's crazy these days. They know all the terms. Also, real quick, a fun fact on IMDb trivia. It says, Mrs. Claus's hair is styled to make her head into a Christmas bauble.
Oh, bauble. Oh my gosh, yeah, it did look like an ornament.
Yeah, I didn't put that together. I guess I'm not as progressive.
Yeah, she's a modern progressive woman. So there, she can look like what the fuck she wants.
I'm really pissed that we didn't get Mrs. Claus's like full name.
Yeah, I don't think they ever give us her name. Yeah,
Matilda, Irma Fitzgerald Claus.
Okay, that's canon now. She's Murfka.
I feel like there should be a McGillicuddy in there somewhere.
Probably. She's really white. So, Teddy is there too on vacation, and that's the older brother. He's preoccupied with a lady who loves snorkeling. And Jack wants to hang out with Kate.
Yeah.
The mom wants them to sing carols on the beach. And then all of a sudden, Bob starts singing "Oh Christmas Tree," and Kate just storms off. And he's like, Bob's like, "What did I do?" And Kate's mom's like, "Oh, that was just her dead dad's favorite Christmas song that you just pulled out of nowhere." And he's like, "Oh shit." And she's like, "No, you're good."
It is also kind of one of the lamest Christmas carols.
It's never ever been my favorite, like, ever. It's just so slow.
Who knows the freaking words to that?
It's like these people, I guess. But yeah, that's no one's favorite Christmas song. And I was hating on it until I heard that last bit, the song they did at the end.
Yeah, with everybody.
Yeah, with Home Dude daddying it up with that bass.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Changed my mind on it a little bit, I'm not gonna lie.
So Kate's all upset and she storms off to the beach to go talk to the moon / Santa. She wants to amend her Christmas wish from a scooter to her getting out of there and going back to Boston. And she feels like because her mom has moved on with a new guy that her dad will just go away. And I'm like, he's already dead, but like his memory won't go away just because like I really get upset when kids think that like a new parent's gonna replace the dead parent. That's like not gonna happen. Also, her mom's pretty cool. Yeah, but you know, they're kids.
They don't know anything.
Dumbass kids. So Ricky Baker, grow up, you true believer.
Get a job.
Oh man, Ricky Baker overhears her and is like, "Oh, you want to go back to Boston? You want to get out of here? I'll get you out of here." So the next
just nailing it with really that good. Yeah.
I have listened to so many romance novel audiobooks with New Zealand accent. Yes, they are. After we get off this Zoom call, I will show you how many I have in my audiobook. It's a lot. Anyway. The next day, they get a bunch of free tickets to things. Teddy gets free snorkeling, and he's like, "Oh, I know someone that would love to go snorkeling." They get 2 free tickets to Tulum, an overnight stay in Tulum with a tour of the Mayan ruins. And mom's like, "Fuck yes!" And there's also 2 coupons for Kids Club slumber party with a bunch of ice cream. Oh my God, for a little kid that has a lactose intolerance problem, Jack is super happy about the ice cream. Honestly, though, if I had an ice cream buffet, I'm also lactose intolerant, I would eat until I shit myself.
Yeah, pretty much. There's some things.
Yeah.
I'm definitely lactose sensitive, but there are some things you just gotta buck up and just you have to be okay with pooping later.
Yeah. So I'm so grateful. Shout out to Lactaid for making a lactose-free eggnog.
Yes.
I every year I used to just risk it with Borden's and then like pay for it, and now Lactaid made one because I don't like the soy, I don't like the coconut, I don't like the almond. It has to be like from a cow.
The oat milk though, A+.
The oat milk nog or oat milk?
Oat milk nog.
Okay, I have to try that one. I haven't tried that one yet.
Oh, it's real good.
I've tried pea milk, not like P-E-E, P-E-A. And that's gross.
That's, still is, hey man, both
you,
gross.
You do you, but.
I'm like, I'm just trying to live this lactose-free life because I don't want to dookie my undershorts. Anyway, so Kate is like, oh my gosh, we're all separating for the holidays? Are you just trying to get mom away so you could propose to her? And everybody's like, whoa. Mom pulls her aside and she talks about how Tyrese isn't replacing Goldie Hawn's son, Doug, dad, whatever. So then Kate is like, oh, why are we separating? And then she sees a golf cart, like, with an exit out of here. She sees a shuttle or something. And she's like, yeah, wait, just kidding. Shuttle. I was a brat. Go on your vacation. Bye. So she makes a plan to run away back to Boston. Like, she calls the airline and is like, oh, I can switch my flight. Who gets it? We talked about, like, flights on Christmas Eve. But
she can only switch her flight if she's there in person, which is what she said over the phone. And that bothered the shit out of me.
Yeah, like, internet doesn't exist. Ugh, get a Wi-Fi, girl.
Hey, it's Mexico, man. I don't know.
I mean, Mexico's got Wi-Fi.
I don't know what kind of rules they have down there.
It's a free-for-all internet. If I could get Mexican Wi-Fi, I would. Anyway.
So. Yeah, I think it's pretty normal.
So they all separate. So mom and Tyrese go to Tulum. Teddy goes snorkeling with the old girl. And Jack gets ready for the slumber party. And he's like, all right, Kate, I'm ready. And she's like, no, actually, go wait over there. I'll be right back. She sneaks off onto a golf cart, and Jack sneaks on the back of that golf cart because he sees her. But guess who's driving the golf cart?
It's Santa.
No, it's Ricky Baker. It's Bill Snickle.
Eel Snickle. Oh, I can't Bill do as good Snickle. As you.
No, she's so good.
I'm not even joking with how many. It's like 16. Anyway, so
I'm just gonna say it like in German, like Belschnickel.
That sounds way cooler. That's like, it feels like that's how you're supposed to say it. So I mean, Ricky
Baker, Germans always yell, right?
They do when they're for everything. I knew a German girl who spoke like English and I was like, chill. And she's like, this is just my voice. Okay. Ricky Baker opens a portal to the North Pole and sends them there without proper clothing. That's fucking rude.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, they could have easily frozen to death if the timing was off.
They almost did. Yeah. Did you fall asleep during this part?
No, I saw them and like they're covered in frost too. Like they looked actually dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just and had a like sip a of little,
thank like, goodness they had that magic hot cocoa to help them.
So Kate thinks Santa brought her to the North Pole.
Yes.
And she wasn't yeeted off a golf cart into a wormhole. So we at this time Santa is chasing after the Yule cat Jola. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know.
Yeah.
They say Jola. If it's like Nordic, wouldn't it be like Yola?
Yeah.
I that's like the only thing I thought of the whole time I saw it. But anyway. I don't know. I mean, I'm
freaking Kurt Russell.
You know, I'm just a little Hispanic boy from South Texas. So, I mean, if it's not Garcia, who knows, you know?
You know what? To you, it should be Jola.
Jola.
Jola. It's Jola.
Yeah, I'm definitely the kind of white where every time I hear somebody who's a Spanish speaker laugh, I just see in my head, ja, 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 ja.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh man, if I ever caption these episodes, that's what I'm doing for all of our laughter.
For real.
So Santa's chasing after the Yule cat Jola. He sees the kids outside of the Borealis barrier or Borealis veil, and they're like almost frozen to death. So he like goes through the barrier, grabs them, and then Ricky Baker grabs onto the sleigh. Santa's sleigh to sneak in through the barrier because Santa's like the only one that can like get through the crazy Borealis veil.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like this part because apparently all the reindeer are women or girls or ladies or female. That's pretty tight.
Yeah, and I've heard that before. It has to do with because they're the ones that don't shed their antlers like in the winter, and I guess the males do. And so it makes sense, since we see them all in drawings and stuff, that, like, you know, they all have their antlers, so they would all be the girls. Yeah.
Women get shit done. Also, this is so funny. Women have to be in the mood. Remember, they don't work when Christmas spirit's not up.
I totally didn't put that together.
Just put it together. Thank shout out to Coquito for making me think of the smartest things. So Jola is working with Ricky Baker and, like, licks his face. So in the village, Santa brings Kate and Jack to Mrs. Claus, and Mrs. Claus makes them a special hot cocoa with, like, weird shit in it and dandruff to warm them up. Santa explains the Veil of Borealis, and that keeps them hidden, like Santa's village, hidden from the outside world. Kate asks how she got there, and she's like, Santa, did you do this? And he's like, no, how did you get here? And she's like, wormhole.
Yeah, it's fine, just a wormhole.
You know, just wormhole, every one of those everyday wormholes.
Yeah, just, it looks like fruit by the foot, but, like, gaseous. It's crazy.
It does, you know, seem
a,
like,
tear in space and time. I mean, why not?
Because her title of True Believer does sound like it's gonna, like, lead her into some sticky sit, like, she's primed to join a cult is what I'm saying. Like, she's primed to believe in anything.
Yeah she's definitely gonna be taken advantage of later.
Santa's the new Jim Jones. What was Mrs. Claus brewing up the whole time?
Oh no. Oh,
So Jack screams at the elf when he sees an elf, and he sees where he is, because I think the first thing he sees when he wakes up is an elf. He's like, what the fuck? Or he, I don't remember, I just took your hand.
Something like that.
He's like, we're not in Cancun anymore.
No. No, you're not, baby boy. So they, like, what
tipped you off, the smell?
You almost freezing to death? That's crazy.
Just a little thing here and there.
So they tour Santa's village, and Mrs. Claus zaps warm clothes on them. Apparently in Santa's village, there's over 1 million elves. They have a movie theater. Did you see what the movie theater was playing?
Elf.
Yes. So cute. Apparently Santa makes video games. And the Christmas star on top of the tree powers the village. The star connects to the Borealis to make the veil. And Santa is the only one that knows how to go through the veil. And it's got a piece of the Star of Bethlehem, and it's 1,700 years old.
This is just such an overly complicated explanation for this.
Yeah, very, very much.
I mean, just unnecessarily so. I mean, it could just be like, there's a magic force field. Like, fucking there.
Too much backstory.
It was, yeah, definitely jam-packed. I mean, why? It wasn't, you're right, it was unnecessary. I mean, I kind of liked it because I love the world building kind of, you know, things like that, like comic books and sci-fi fantasy, but at the same time, it was like, for your movie, like, streamline your movie, you know?
Yeah.
If you're gonna have time travel in it, you don't need, like, all this other stuff.
Like, so, they had to put Bethlehem in this too, so, like, in this universe, Jesus exists and the Christian religion exists?
Yes.
Yeah, so they get into it. I mean, later on, they try to, you know, to show that St. Nicholas was St. Nicholas of Myra, the bishop who, you know, then found these elves and then was entrusted, you know, because of his good deeds, was entrusted with, you know, this light of the Star of Bethlehem, or a tiny portion of the light.
But do they talk about Jesus? Because yeah. I do remember,
well,
that.
No, they just say he's a bishop. So, I mean, it's just assumed. Yeah.
But yes, Jesus did it. Wouldn't allow wormholes. It's anti, I don't know. It's something. It's anti something. Only God can make wormholes.
You know what? Kurt Russell may have been in brown face in this movie.
I don't think he was. I didn't see it.
He was a little tan and when he went back to being the old 1700 years ago.
I think that's just Kurt Russell.
Oh, maybe. He's
I think it was just the lighting, because I didn't get that. Okay. I hope not. Oh man, that would be,
I hope not either. It's 2020, damn. But he looks a little. Are Turkish people white?
They're not as dark as we think. Yeah.
It depends. Turkey's kind of a melting pot.
You know what? I'll just allow it. I'm not going to go all social justice on this bullshit. It's a fucking Christmas movie.
It's just a movie. Yeah.
So, oh my God, that was a long explanation of the Star of Bethlehem. So there's cannons. They have cannons in this Christmas village. So because of the Borealis veil, nothing can get in, including snow. So they have to shoot cannons of snow so the 1 million elves can be happy. Did you fall asleep, Scarlett?
No, this is just something so unnecessarily complicated that they spend so much time on.
Yeah.
But it like comes in at the end of the story. This is two different stories. So Mrs. Claus really loves children, and there's actual real human children in the village. So she's like, but they can't go. But they have to stay for dinner.
I thought that part was kind of cute.
It was sweet, but it was like kidnappy. So
of course.
Did that imply
did it in the first movie?
Well, it did imply that they had children at one point. She's like, I miss having children.
Yeah, it's referring to Belsnickel when he was
It's like like the elves and
they kind of get into it, but I think you were asleep during that part.
Okay.
Also
Mrs.
Claus is a baroness.
Oh, she's a baroness.
Yeah.
They don't explain how they met, which, I mean, I don't blame them because that would have been another thing to add into this movie. But at the same time, it's like if we're going through all this backstory, you know, like how does Mrs. Claus fit in?
You know what? I think they're going to make a third one.
There, and she has like her own style of magic.
I think they're going to make a third one, and it's going to be an origin story about how Mrs. Claus saved Christmas.
Can see that.
That's my theory. Because when I looked at the Christmas Chronicles, it was on a subgroup Christmas Chronicles collection. I was like, collection? There's only two right now.
Well, it does say Chronicles.
I know, and there's a lot of books.
The books are pretty cool, though. I did the books.
Are books on this?
Yeah, in the movie there are. You were asleep.
I did see the part about Belsnickel though, he was like kind of their kid, but I just like figured it was like him and all the other elves, but yeah. I don't know.
She magicked the book off the shelf.
When she pulled the book, you know, she wanted to read the kids a story.
Yeah.
And then she read them the whole thing. Also, like, how recent was that, and who was writing these?
I don't know. To be them, right? They're like writing their own stories.
Also, it has to be.
Who else could it be except one of the elves?
It has to be recent because when you're under the Borealis veil, you don't age. But Belsnickel got kicked out when he was a teenager, so he had to. It had to have been the last couple of years.
Well, when he was 13, and now the actor's 18, so that's 5 years. So in the past 5 years, they've basically written an entire storybook just to shit talk their old son.
Yeah.
As one is wont to do.
Yeah. So we're at the early dinner. Apparently Mrs. Claus can cook food that looks and tastes like candy and sweets and desserts, but is actually nutritious. I wish.
Yeah,
I know. The whole time, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'd eat the heck out of that broccoli.
I know, it was a piece of cake. I love cake.
But like, Jerry, if your kids see this, aren't they going to be like, why can't you make us that?
Yeah, probably.
You're not Mrs. Claus.
And then I'd say magic.
Yeah.
that's just a dangerous
answer
thing.
To everything, yeah. Because that's magic, so sorry.
Just make them like a steak and potatoes cake where it's like it's like the mashed potatoes are the icing and the inside of the cake is actually steak. Unless you're like vegetarian, then do like tofu or something.
I'm very much a carnivore.
same girl. So Kate and Santa talk about how she got there because she's like, you didn't bring me? He's like, nah. You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, he even says like, are we talking about the scooter?
Yeah.
You know my wish. He's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and Mrs. Claus is like, I think it has something to do with her being a true believer. And then they were like, well, our parents aren't going to be back until tomorrow, so can we stay the night? And Mrs. Claus was like, yes, you can, kids. So we also see Ricky Baker is on the outskirts of the village, and he has a bunch of toys. They look nefarious, and he just, like, lets some of them loose. So this is the part where Mrs. Claus is, like, real cute and tucking him into bed. And there are Christmas Chronicles books, and it's, like, on a shelf. They look really, really old, and it's, like, a shelf of giant encyclopedias. Mrs. Claus reads them to bed. She reads them the origin story of Santa Claus. It starts off in 312 AD in Turkey, and his name is St. Nicholas, and you can see him putting, like, oranges in stockings. And eventually he reached the forest elves, and the elves were killed to almost extinction because the humans wanted their magic. But then there was this prophecy that there would be this human that would be king of the elves, and he would save them. And so it was St. Nicholas, because he could handle the Star of Bethlehem. It's
more and more ridiculous.
I know.
It's just so much. Why are we putting so much in this movie?
This is like 2 minutes, and I'm just like taking like 8 minutes to fucking explain it. So St. Nick is the only person that could channel the Star of Bethlehem. So he led the elves to land,
but not
where
all
Christmas
of them
would endure.
Because yeah, then there were still some in Turkey, because they have to go back. So, like, I guess some of the elves were just like, we want to go. And some of the others were like, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh
my gosh. So are there still elves in Turkey?
Yes.
Because mm-hmm.
we got to go
they have
to
go back. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. So she was like, Kate looked at the book and she's like, that elf looks familiar. And Mrs. Claus was like, you know what? That's Bill Snickel. So Mrs. Claus gets another book off the shelf.
Oh my god, I just realized that Belle Snickle is also the elf's name.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I was like thinking the Belle Snickle from the beginning was just like another name for Santa that they were just being cutesy with.
It's for Ricky Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm about to tell you why he's human and not an elf.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets another book out because Kate asks about Belle Snickle. So Belle Snickle was like a baby, little chunky baby elf that was like maybe the size of a Furby.
Kind of creepy because they make him look like Julian Dennison.
Yeah,
like all the others still kind of have that weird feline-y kind of face. And him, like they actually kind of make look like him. And it just, it's the weirdest thing. It freaked me out every time I saw him.
Oh, it's very gremlin-esque,
like
to me.
Like Uncanny Valley, is that the word?
Yeah, very, very much so.
Yeah, he's like a hairless gremlin. So Mrs. Claus basically, or the Clauses, basically took Belle Snickle under their wing and like basically treated him like a son. So Mrs. Claus taught him potion making. Santa Claus taught him invention. So like how to invent toys. All a jingle jingle. So when Belle Snickle was a teen, Santa had less and less time for Belle Snickle, and Belle Snickle became rebellious. He ended up breaking the elf code because he was so rebellious. The elf code, you can't lie, you can't have ego, viciousness, envy, or selfishness. And as soon as he broke all five of them, he was cursed. So he was pissed off at Santa and Mrs. Claus. And he was like, you know what? I hated humans before you guys came, and I hate humans again. So, oh, well, I'm sorry. I hated humans before, and now I hate humans again. Again. So, but bah humbug. He doesn't say bah humbug yet. But so since he broke all five of the elf code, he turned into the thing he hated the most, which was a human.
A human, yeah.
So
that was kind of dumb. Yeah. Again, more with like the dumb mythology stuff. And again, I'm saying this as someone who loves mythology and, you know, like all this cool world building, but there's just so much of it that's unnecessary. Like this whole movie could have been streamlined and I think it would have been so much better. So
just like explore one of those elements and that would be cool.
Yeah. And that would have been fine. But
yeah,
Mm-hmm. You know what? I've seen Home Alone. I'm used to Chris Columbus doing unnecessary shit. That's all I'm going to say. That's the shade I'm going to throw. That's it. So
I love Home Alone. it's like one of my top favorite movies.
So Belsnickel turns into human and he's so humiliated. He just like runs away. And Mrs. Claus is like, Belsnickel, no, come back. We love you. Well, while they were telling the story, Belsnickel's toy that he let loose was actually spying on them. Dun, dun, dun. It was in the bedroom. Gross.
Yeah.
So he sends a drone.
Oh, you're Schnickel.
He sends a drone to put a potion into the cannons. It's a blue potion. We'll call it Elfschnief.
Self-gunkade.
it basically is Scarlet. So
yep.
Belsnickel's like, Jola, take care of the reindeer. And Belsnickel's like, I'll get the star. So Jola hurts Dasher. Jola goes into the stables and like fucks Dasher up.
But Dasher like gives it a go.
Yeah.
Like she really puts up a fight for a while there.
Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, you see, I mean, she's like
in the shadows.
Yeah, you see she's hurt, but you don't see any blood, which is, like, fine. I'm okay with those kind of boo-boos. So everybody is sleeping. Santa and Mrs. Claus are asleep, like, grandpa and grandma on, like, recliner couches. They're watching It's a Wonderful Life, but it's dubbed in Elvish. Did you notice that?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, because they speak English, so...
Yeah.
I am so excited for the Pete Davidson table read.
Of what?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, really? He's doing that?
Yeah, they're doing like a live table read, and Pete Davidson's going to be George Bailey.
Really?
Oh.
That's an unexpected choice.
Did I get that name right?
Yeah, George Bailey.
Fuck yeah.
The only thing about Pete Davidson I'd seen recently is Adult Toys. What's his face on it? That's the only thing that popped on my timeline on Facebook.
Oh yeah,
I try to keep it PG.
Do you?
Well, I'm not gonna buy it, so yeah. So Santa and Mrs. Claus are sleeping, and then all of a sudden the cannons start going off, and all this like blue Breaking Bad dust flies everywhere. So this potion spreads to all the elves, and it's essentially like elf coke, or it's like the purple stuff from Detective Pikachu. It makes the elves go crazy. It's called Elf Bane. Oh man, I'm so out of breath. Belsnickel steals the star off the top of the tree. Then he confronts Santa. He's like, you never loved me. And then Santa's like, Jola, you sent Jola in the stables, he hurt Dasher. And he's like, oh, that wasn't part of the plan. And then the kids recognize him and they're like, that's the dude from the golf cart that sent us into the wormhole. And he was like, I'm taking this star to the South Pole and Santa will never be heard from again.
That's stupid. That's the dumbest plan. He's gonna make his own pole.
It's gonna be at the South Pole.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's gonna be the toy maker. And he's like, I want to stop aging and break the curse. And Mrs. Claus is like, the only way to break the curse is to come home to the North Pole. Let us love you. Like, chill with your ego and your viciousness and your lying and your envy and your selfishness.
Elves.
And then when Mrs. Claus like goes like, come home, he's like, bah humbug. And Santa's like, watch your mouth.
Yeah. That got a genuine laugh from me. I'm embarrassed to say.
No, that was funny. That was a good one. So Santa's like, well, I got real magic. And he like snaps and he like grabs the star from Belsnickel. And Belsnickel's like, nah, you know what? You remember when the Nintendo glove was real? I got a gravity glove. And then he like pulls the star back. So they're pushing and pulling. Well, they're just pulling this star and they end up breaking it. Oh no, they broke the fucking Star of Bethlehem. And all the lights go out.
It's a container.
Yeah, it's just a container for a shard. So all the lights go out, the Borealis field drops. Belsnickel like legit like grabs onto a drone and flies away.
That was so silly.
Drone. And Santa's like, Christmas is doomed without the star. And then I think Kate was like, for tonight. And Mrs. Claus was like, forever.
All I could think about was a Sandlot.
Forever.
Forever.
Yes. The elves are going psycho because they've schneefed Elfbane. And then Mrs. Claus looks for a cure for the elf poisoning and for Dasher. And she gets Jack's help. Santa's going to go to Turkey to get a new star, and he's going to get Katie's help. So this is the part where they split up. So
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So Bellsnickel hitches a ride. He like sneaks onto Santa's sleigh and like is like on the one of the little feats, and he's like sitting on it. He's like, we're going to Turkey. Bellsnickel can't run as fast as us. And Bellsnickel's like, you underestimate me, old man. So
I just love hearing that impression. Every time I'm like about to do it, I'm like, no, I want to hear her do it.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm gonna keep doing it the whole time. It's just gonna get better because I'm gonna get used to it. Anyway, so Mrs. Claus has like Dasher on the mend, and she needs a special route to rescue the elves from being poisoned. It's called Lavandi Route. And she pulls out this special map just to get to this thing. And Jack has to go alone because Mrs. Claus needs to take care of Dasher. So,
okay, this is the point that I'm probably asleep.
Okay, tight. You miss the elf juggling chainsaws.
What?
Yeah. This is two elves like, bleh, bleh, and like almost killing each other.
Jesus.
And so Jack sets off on this quest to go get the Lavandi Route. And he's like, all right, it's hero time. And I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute.
Well, this is when Mrs. Claus gives him like the cookies. And she's like,
yeah,
one of these cookies will explode.
This is a gingerbread man.
And the other one makes you happy or courageous.
Yeah. So she gives him two cookies.
Does she tell him which one's which?
Yes.
Yeah, she does.
Okay, thank God.
The gingerbread man wants a bomb. And the snowman cookie can give you courage. So Kate and Santa arrive in Turkey, and the forest elves like start shooting arrows at Santa, and he just bats them like a cat. He's like, poof, 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 poof. He just bats them away, except for one, and he gets shot in the butt.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Kate's like, you got shot, and he's like, oh, yeah, riding on a sleigh is just like Novocaine from a butt cheek. Like, that's too much information.
Are they elf size arrows or human size arrows?
They're elf size arrows.
Pretty elf size.
They're like human thick.
They're more like darts.
They're like human thick, but like
thick. Ooh, but that's good to know for the next time I meet an elf.
Elf short.
Y'all know what I mean. Like a tuna can.
they're tuna can arrows. So we meet the forest elves, and they speak elvish, and they're like, are you the real Santa? He's like, yeah. And they're like, prove it. And he snaps and wiggles his nose like genie style or bewitched style, whatever. And the arrow disappears. They're like, we still don't believe you. And then an elf goes to shoot another arrow, and he just like freezes him like Elsa. So
they kill him?
No, he just freezes. No, his eyes are still moving.
Yeah, he just...
He'll unfreeze.
Oh, okay. Like a cartoon freeze, not like a... Yeah,
right,
like
right.
An elf-sickle.
Yeah, correct. Not like he's in an episode of Charmed or something. So we meet Håkon? Whatever.
Håkon.
He's like the super old elf that like knew Santa 1,700 years ago. And he's like, you haven't been here in 522 years. And Santa's like, well... So Santa tells him that Bellsnickel destroyed the star, and he's like, oh, Bellsnickel. That's my Malcolm McDowell voice. So they do the star ritual, which is like pretty, whatever. Like Kurt Russell holds the star up into the sky, like Rafiki and Simba. And then the Star of Bethlehem like shoots down, kind of like Stargate.
It was kind of like Stargate.
Yeah.
Yeah, It's true.
I'm just like going through like history with movies. Anyway, so Jack goes up the Jack. We cut back to Jack. He's going up a fucking mountain with no safety equipment on. This child.
So he's like 10 years old, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
He goes up to the mountain. He sees the plant. And as he sees the plant, Jola the Yule Cat's right there. So he like hurries up and swipes the Lavandi root while Jola the Yule Cat is swiping at him. And then he falls all the way down. And then Jola comes at him. And he's like, you know what? Suck on this. And then he throws a gingerbread man at Jola. And he doesn't blow up the cat, but this child throws a bomb.
Jola, don't listen.
That's the moral of the story. Children should throw bombs.
No.
Jola runs away.
It's just a movie. I have cats in my lap right now.
Is your cat a Yule Cat that attacks reindeer?
Lulu, are you a Yule Cat? Are you a Yule Cat?
Oh my gosh. It looks like you're doing Pepe Le Pew and then that black cat that Pepe Le Pew is in love with.
Oh. She is not a Yule Cat. She is unhappy.
Let me take you away to the Casbah. No.
So Santa's got the star. He's like, Katie, guard this. And whatever. Don't give that little girl anything. So Santa's on the way home.
She like immediately loses it.
Yes. Belsnickel is on his own sleigh. And instead of reindeer, he's got Jackalody, which he says are jackals and coyotes mixed together,
yeah.
But it looks like a hyena fucked a pug.
Oh.
They're really ugly cute, though, honestly. They're like...
Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, my Yule Cat just attacked my non-Yule Cat.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Sorry about that.
I just saw one fly. Yeah.
It's like, whoa, what is going on over there?
So they have these flying pugs. How is he funding all of this? Like, what? How is Belsnickel making the money in order to get all these like insanely complicated gadgets?
I think he's building them, but I think he's sending Spec, his little henchman,
to
go out and get stuff because
his friend elf, like the one elf that like went with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His little hype man homie.
Because don't you need like some like insane like kind of like equipment and and doodads and gadgets in order to make a fucking gravity glove and wormholes and shit? Like he's got to steal some like nuclear plutonium uranium antimatter shit from NASA.
Or Santa.
Put some magic in there. So.
Yeah. I think sending Spec to like be his like errand boy because he brought him the tape in the beginning. So he's like the pinky to his brain. So where are we? Oh shoot. So the star ends up dropping. Like they drop the star. So they go into this like nosedive to get the star and Ricky Baker's sleigh goes faster and he throws something onto Santa's sleigh and it looks like a Heelys light up wheel. So Belsnickel, it ends up being a wormhole device where it sends Santa back in time and he catches Belsnickel catches the star and they're sent back in time.
Well, what's the purpose of him going back in time?
We'll get there in a second. So Mrs. Claus.
Exactly.
Yeah, Mrs. Claus is healing Dasher and Jack comes back and he's like, I did it. And then that's it. So they're shot back in time. So Santa is shot back in time to Boston in 1990 at the airport where the Christmas spirit is the lowest ever. Whatever. It's like 7% out of 100. Mm-hmm.
No Christmas spirit. In that
specific place or in general?
In that specific
airports in
place
general,
and time.
But this one also specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, what?
So because the Christmas
Chris
spirit
Columbus
is...
remembered like his experience in 1990 at this airport and was like, this was the worst ever.
He's like, fuck this airport. I can't write a Yelp review, so I'm going to make a whole movie.
I'm putting this in my movie.
Like, it couldn't have been, like, December 11th. Like,
well, I think they wanted to say it was, like, Christmas Eve is where there's the lowest Christmas spirit, especially if there's, like, a bunch of delayed and canceled flights.
Yeah.
So, this is...
Hey, I saw Full House. That's not true.
Oh, no, sorry. I was, I said December 11th, and I meant December 2001 after, you know...
September 11th.
Yeah, I feel like, but that probably would have taken a much darker turn, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just yeah.
Never mind. Let's skip over that.
Anyway,
there would have been more security than there was. So, the reindeer have to land because there's the Christmas spirit is so low the reindeer can't actually fly anymore. So, when they land, Santa sees the time twister device, and he's like, Katie, figure out how this powers on. So when they get to the airport, they realize it runs on AAA batteries.
Leave it to Belsnickel.
Leave it to Belsnickel to run on AAA batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's powering a time travel device?
Yeah. With AAA batteries.
Fucking Marty McFly did an entire lightning strike and he just needs some AAA fucking batteries that I use in my vibrator? Come on!
Santa comments on how, like, man, he's such a smart inventor because he can run a whole time travel device on AAA batteries.
But he's just so sloppy.
But he's sloppy because it, like, broke, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it broke or whatever. So
that's not a toy. That's a far cry from being a toy maker.
Well, he's an inventor, not a toy maker.
Yeah, I guess. So, as we saw in Jingle Jangle, that's the main point of being a of an inventor, is to make toys.
So Santa and Katie split up at the airport. Santa's like, I'm going to get the Christmas cheer up. And Katie's like, I'm going to get batteries. So she goes to, well, Santa pulls out AAA batteries out of his pocket, and she's like, they're expired. I'm like,
that made no sense.
No, I would have tried them.
Pulled, like, all of those random, like, toys and presents and everything that the guys wanted, the policeman wanted. Remember in the first movie? It was like he was
pulling out
everything, like, fresh, you know, mint condition these and
oh, you know why?
All the stuff. And now he can't even have like non-expired, like good batteries. I don't get it.
I think it was because the Christmas spirit was so low, Santa couldn't do any magic.
Oh, maybe.
That's the only
but
thing.
But I don't know. He pulls off some crazy magic with that musical number there.
You're right. You're right. That was. You know what?
So does she buy batteries with like future money?
She does. She buys,
tries, and they don't believe her. They're like, "What is this? This is fake."
She buys batteries with year 2020 money.
It's like this says 2020 on it.
Because an airport is open with people with no masks in 2020.
Oh God. Oh man, if I could time travel to a year ago, I would just go outside and hug every stranger that I saw. Like I would potentially kiss as many people as consented.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I would do. I would hug everyone.
I would hug people. I don't know. I would probably pick specific people to be like, "Can I kiss you?"
I just miss strangers, man. I miss strangers so much. I went to go see
sharing drinks with people.
Oh my God, yeah. And just doing disgusting stuff. I like being gross and I like strangers and I like going to shows. I went to a show on Friday and it's like one of those punk-em-up shows. And like we're all sitting at picnic tables, like all sad at our picnic tables drinking our sad drinks. And I couldn't be in a pit with strangers and jostle them around.
No, I'm fine with that. I don't want to be touched. I just want to make out with like specific people.
Just specific strangers.
While I'm married. So Katie tries to pay with future money. The lady calls her out and she's like, this isn't real. This is Monopoly money. This is the year 2020. And Katie's like, oh, just kidding. And she gets arrested.
Really?
Yeah, the police.
She has time to get arrested?
Yeah. She gets arrested.
It's a pretty long musical number.
Yeah, it is a pretty long musical number.
Yeah.
And it's a musical number?
Yeah, it's coming up. So there's a Karen moment where the lady from Holiday Rush is like behind the counter. And then there's this white blonde lady that's like, you, this flight is delayed. Why didn't you tell me that? And she's like, I am literally telling you that right now. She's like, but make it not happen. She's like, I can't. Bye. You get a hotel room. So this is when I fast forwarded through this because it was just a musical number. So big giant musical number, all in 90s. People are like likening it to like, I guess, Home Alone or like some other thing. I don't know. So when they were likening it to some other movie, like it was like a throwback to another 90s Christmas movie. I don't know. So when Katie's in like jail, she meets another young man that is like, you know, flying alone by himself.
It's obviously her dad.
Yeah. And well, it's not obvious at first.
I don't know. I think I, as soon as I saw him, I was like, that's going to be her dad, right?
Oh man. No, I didn't know.
And it's the feller from mid-90s.
Oh, the kid. Oh, more in the 90s. Now he's in the early 90s. Jesus. So,
well, no, he's from the movie mid-90s.
I know. Now he's in the 1990.
Okay. Well, he also, just really quick, he was also in The House with a Clock in Its Walls, which I also saw recently, and I thought it was really delightful. And he played a kid with a really stupid name in it.
I wanted to see it, and I never got around to it.
I thought it was really fun. It's really hard to find. Tarby is such a dumb name.
What? Yeah. That's
nobody's Tarby name. Corrigan.
That's like that's terrible. Oh man, can you imagine if that was your name?
No,
I can't Tarby. Either. That's how dumb it is.
Yeah, try calling a baby Tarby. Baby Tarby.
What is it short for? Tarbert.
Tarbert.
Still dumb.
Tarbias. Tarome. No.
Tarbone?
Tarbone. Come on, Tarbone!
Oh, man. So, apparently all of the flights are canceled. That lowers the Christmas spirit. Then the carom moment happens. And then the holiday rush lady starts singing with Santa. And then Kate meets the young man, and he tries to cheer up. He's like, I know another true believer when I see one.
That was the dumbest thing.
Yeah, and then they say some sweet words. I don't know what's happening. There's some character growth. And then he breaks her out. And when he tries to pick a lock, he picks a lock with a pocket knife. And the pocket knife, she recognizes it, and it says, always see it through,
mm-hmm.
which is the pocket knife that... Eddie got in the first movie. So then Kurt Russell's still, he's having his like Bill Clinton moment because he's playing a saxophone. That's why, not for any other reason. Oh, okay. He like plays a saxophone because I was like, that's so 90s, like governor of Arkansas playing a saxophone.
Well, he plays saxophone in the first one.
Did he?
When he was in jail.
Oh, okay.
When he had that little jailhouse rock band.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Well, but does he play the sax? I don't remember either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I will trust you on that one. So the song ends, and she and this kid go up to Santa, and he was like, "Hey, Santa, are you the real Santa?" And he's like, "Yeah, I am, Doug." And he's like, "Wait, how do you know my name?" And she's like, "Wait, your name's Doug?" And he's like, "Doug Pierce." And she realizes it's her dad. And so she had always wanted a chance to say goodbye to her dad. And that's like the chance she got to say goodbye to her dad. Because then she hugs him, like she hugs this 13-year-old boy. And she's like, bye, dad. He's like, what? She's like, I mean, Doug.
Do we know how he died?
In the fire, you know, like a fire.
Yeah, he was a firefighter and he died.
Can't she just like warn him?
No. So it's space-time continuum.
You're gonna create a whole new
just
timeline.
Like, hey, just this one fire, like don't ask any questions, just like this specific fire, this specific date. Don't do it.
No, because Tyrese wouldn't have happened, and neither would have Jack. He wouldn't have saved the Christmas village. No,
I guess.
We gotta keep people dead.
This is just another one of those where it's like they already covered this in the first movie with Teddy, you know, mm-hmm. and his unresolved dad issues. Did they have to do it again, you know?
Unresolved
dad issues. But Doug realizes that this is like the real Santa, and he goes, "Man, I gotta remember to always bring a camera with me."
Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go. Yeah. And I was like, nice. Oh my God, we're going to bring this back to the first movie. Anyway, Mrs. Claus and Jack come up with the antidote, and she's like, hey, you need to go put this red schnief into the cannons, but like, you gotta get past all these crazy elves. And he's like, what do? Do I need more bomb cookies? And she's like, no, you need something better. And she opens his chest, and it's a Nerf crossbow.
Yes.
Nice.
That's it. It's a Nerf crossbow.
I so, would have like, wanted one when I was little. I think that would have been awesome.
Honestly, I have like tiny Nerf guns. They're pretty tight and they're pretty powerful. Like, they're also really, really small. They're pretty cute.
Nice.
So then we're back to Sam and Katie. Time travel shit happens. They travel back in time to 15 seconds after Belle Snickle stole the star. So then they steal it back.
Legit.
That's such a headache. So Santa's like, Katie, guard the star with your life. And then he tells her to jump at a specific point so she can put the star back on the thing. And then while Jack is trying to get to the cannon, so he's like, just like pop, pop, pop to all these elves with this Nerf gun. So Belle Snickle and Santa play chicken with their sleighs. Mrs. Claus throws a gingerbread man bomb to like come in between them. And this is the cutest part. When the gingerbread man cookie is flying through the air, it just goes, oh no.
Oh no. It was sentient this whole time.
Yeah. And then it blows like up and scary, stops.
That's like a scary thought. Cause is that what he's thinking when like you're about to eat, you know, the gingerbread man?
You were created to die.
Oh no. This is like that Hugh Jackman movie where he like kills his clone.
The Prestige.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that one's creepy.
That was creepy. I saw
that. I love it though. It's awesome.
My husband loves it. Ugh.
Such a good movie.
It really is. It's a really good movie.
I'll watch it. I watched it once. I'm fine.
Agreed. Also, oh, you know what? You know what time travel movie I rewatched recently that still holds up is Kate and Leopold.
Oh my gosh.
That holds up so hard. Ryan?
I love it.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman?
I think about it every time I make toast.
I never saw it.
Fresh butter. I could dedicate an entire podcast, like a 100-episode podcast, just every how sexy every frame Hugh Jackman is.
They do a by-the-minute podcast for a lot of movies now.
Yeah, my friend has one for every minute of Independence Day.
Yes. Yeah. Kenny. And there's also Santa by the Minute. So there's like what, Santa Claus the movie with that you can't really find
anywhere. Santa by the Minute with John and Ben. Yeah.
Yeah. And they do it Santa by the Minute from the Santa Claus movie. Not like the Santa Claus, it's Santa Claus the movie. Anyway, shout out to them. Shout out to Kenny for his Independence Day 4 minutes. So Dasher is all better because Yola the Yule Cat comes out.
Yolo the Jewel Cat.
Oh, Yola.
Oh my God, can that be the new mascot forever? Yolo the Jewel Cat. It
needs to be for 2020 for sure.
Oh man.
Just smoking a jewel pod.
Oh man, I'm gonna call it that from now on. Yolo the Jewel Cat. Okay, so Yola the Yule Cat comes out and attacks Mrs. Claus, and Dasher's like, not today, Satan, and like fucks Yola up. And Santa literally takes Yola by the tail and like goes boo 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 and like yeets him out of there. He just threw that bitch out the veil. Oh my God, that was so great. So Belle Snickle slips away. Kate is at the tree. She's about to set the star, and Belle Snickle gets his like fireball drone and just starts throwing fireballs at her.
This is where I woke up.
Okay. And then little Jack, who was like filling the cannon, sees this and he's like, I've got one more left. And he like he throws the last Nerf dart and hits the drone, and it like sputters away, and it shoots a fireball onto Bell Snickle's booty. So the elves are cured with the red schneef. Katie places the star. Bell Snickle threatens to come back fighting. And he's like, I'm going to be back. I'm coming back, and I'm going to beat your bottoms.
Your bum.
Beat you in the bum with your own reindeer. I don't know.
Do we ever learn why he got so curmudgeonly in the first place, other than just him becoming a teenager?
They say it, mm-hmm. that he just starts getting jealous of the attention Santa pays to like the rest of the children of the world.
Yeah.
That's basically all it is. Mm-hmm. He just starts getting jealous, and then he lets it like fester.
Yeah.
Like,
fester.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fiesta.
To rot. Sorry, so, I love that line so much from Adam's Family.
Yes. Mm. Oh man, love it.
So when Bell Snickle's all like, "I'm angsty and I don't want to age," Santa's like, "I have a gift for you." And he gifts him the first toy they ever built together. And he's like, you kept it? He's like, I kept it and I kept working on it. So they have a heartfelt moment. And Bell Snickle turns back into an elf. Because he's like, oh, I love Santa. Mm-hmm. So Santa returns the kids to Cancun. And he lets 10-year-old Jack drive the sleigh. And Katie's like, thanks, Santa, for letting me say bye to my dad. And he's like, that was just a coincidence. she's like, sure, bruh.
Sure. Yeah. It just happened.
So Mrs. Claus packs them some cookies. And Jack is like, what do these cookies do? Do these make me brave? And she's like, yeah, that bravery cookie, it just was a regular cookie. You were brave all along.
You're
just
brave. You're so brave.
And he was like, it was me the whole time. I don't have allergies anymore. And I can drink whole milk.
Oh, no.
this poor kid.
So they get dropped off in Cancun, they jump out the sleigh, and they've got these like cute peppermint parachutes, and Teddy sees him. He's like, no fucking way, dude. They went on Teddy. An adventure without me.
I wanted to see more snorkeled. Teddy. He was like so cool.
Yeah. You know? Why'd they write him out?
Derek's like, why was this kid in the movie? He didn't do anything.
Yeah. It was, oh man.
Like, it is interesting that like both movies, the essential, like the foil was curmudgeonly teenagers. Just like shitty bratty teenagers. Like I don't, the writers just must hate teens.
Jerry, what are you gonna do when your kids turn into teens?
cry probably.
You're gonna get them Jackalody sleigh.
Video games, that seems to work.
Yeah.
Just let them play Minecraft. Fortnite. Among
I'm sure it'll be something new. But like, hey, you want to play this? Okay. Boom. Problem solved. Actually, when I was a band director, I learned pretty quick with teenagers, if you're just like super sarcastic with them, they pretty much start respecting you.
Oh, I learned that when I was like a substitute teacher. I just showed them the tattoos on my arms, and they were like, hell yeah, Miss Quill is so cool. And I was like, I hate all of you. When I leave and go home, I do drugs because I can't stand you.
Oh no, y'all. My YOLO the Jewel Cat is back.
I can't tell upset. The difference between your mic and like your cat.
They're so fuzzy.
Oh man. So they jump out the sleigh. Teddy sees them. They reunite with the parents. Kate says that she misses both her mom and Bob. And that she's like, hey, I've changed. I'm an adult now. So the mom is like, you guys want to carol on the beach? And they're like, sure.
Yeah, so they go let's out sing a Christmas tree.
They sing to the moon.
They sing a very auto-tuned version of a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
To the moon on the beach. If I saw that family, like, I'm like, just like walk, like take a little walk on the beach in Cancun, I'd be like, what?
I would too. I'd be like, man, they seem real happy. That's fucking weird. And
like they're for sure a cult.
I might like join them. I might just stop and start singing with them.
If it was Oh Christmas Tree.
No, you're right. If it was Oh Christmas Tree, I wouldn't have. But if it was like Jingle Bells, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know what? Why aren't there any Christmas songs to the moon? I feel like the moon's pretty Christmassy. Like,
I think it's probably like
Christmas moon comes out once a year. One
in do they talk about the moon in Do You Hear What I Hear?
I think there's like a song that it like, there's got to be like some kind of song where like Santa's crossing over the moon or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm dreaming of a full moon Christmas.
That sounds like a butt song.
A butt song?
Yeah.
That's what she said. Yep.
Yeah, like mooning someone. So the elves and Mr. and Mrs. Claus. Ugh, Santa and Mrs. Claus back at the village are also singing Oh Christmas Tree because so their Christmas formal. Tree is lit up. He's Santa. I mean, he's Mr. Claus to me.
He's that's like, Mr. Claus to
he's
you.
Like my he's like my Mr. Gray. He's my Mr. Claus.
I just want to see him with like an eye patch and just, you know, just like, yeah. You know, doing that whole snake.
Escape from Mrs. Claus's village.
Escape from the North Pole.
Yes. Escape from the Boston Airport 1990.
So while they're singing Oh Christmas Tree, Santa sends through the Borealis Merry Christmas to the people in Cancun in the sky. What font is that?
Comic Sans. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun just to see the Aurora Borealis in Cancun.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, that's it. That's it. The movie's done.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, that was for sure a movie. I'm sorry that I slept through some of it. I really, really only thought that I missed 10 minutes.
No.
Because at the point that I woke up, I was like, this is a logical conclusion to what was set up when I had fallen asleep. But apparently there was like 1,000 things that happened that had to open and close before that part of the movie closed.
Yep.
Yeah. It's almost like a plot inception. Like there's like the major plot, which is, you know, teen hates her almost new dad. Right. And then there's the plot within that where it's like curmudgeonly elf wants to get revenge on Santa. And within that, she's reuniting with Santa to save Christmas. And within that, they're going to meeting her dad. And then within that, there's also the whole adventure with Jack and the
Mrs. Claus
and Mrs. Claus.
Yeah,
that is a thick chronicle. Mm.
That is. That's like a seven-layer.
That's why, like, if they had just left out like two or three of these things, you know, it would have been a better movie. And I mean, it might have even possibly been in my Christmas canon if that had happened. But no, they throw everything in, and so it's just like, yeah, that's cool. I'll watch it every once in a while, and that's about it.
And there was also some really cool stuff that they set up in the first one too, like with, because like there was a good amount of like magical gadgetry.
Mm-hmm.
That they had presented in the first one, they like were like, well, these are the things, and they don't really explain them or their origins. Like, I would have loved like that being more explored, especially within the toy maker context. Like, instead they just kind of like shoehorn in like, oh, he's just really good at technology, I guess. Like, why not explain like more about the ground of these like ridiculous magical gadgets that he has?
Oh man, why didn't they? Okay, so that got me thinking about origin movies, and then who would play Kurt Russell in an origin movie, and then he has another
Kurt
son.
Russell.
No, he has like a
just
son.
De-age him.
Oh, but
put some of that Disney money in there.
But he has that hot son that was in like 22 Jump Street. And then I was like, ooh, he could play, his hot son could play him, like younger him. And then I was like, who would play Mrs. Claus? And then I just went, me. I could play Mrs. Claus. I just want to make out with Kurt Russell's son.
Wyatt Russell?
Yeah, that's him. He's hot.
Do you know the name of his other son?
What?
Boston. 1990.
Is it really?
But it really is Boston, though.
Is that why they included it in the movie? Hey, I got an idea.
Let's put Boston in there. Yeah, we had Goldie Sun in the first movie.
No. Boston. The place.
So would you let your kids watch this?
What's that?
Would you let your kids watch this?
You know, I probably will eventually. It's not like super bad. And I mean, it kind of ties St. Nicholas with Santa. And it's kind of magical and fun, and they won't get it all, but I think they'll be entertained enough that I might have a little moment's peace for a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a lot going on.
No, I mean, it's okay. I probably would let them watch it. Yeah. There's not a lot to it.
Would you let them watch this? Would you rather them watch this or Frozen 2?
My wife already showed them Frozen 2. So I lost that battle.
That's a good movie. Frozen 2 is a good movie.
I haven't seen it.
So. It's better than the first one, in my opinion.
Is it? Well, I think that's what my daughter said.
It passes.
You know what's better than all the Frozens is Tangled and Tangled the series. So
I haven't seen Tangled the series. I did see Tangled.
Tangled the series is dope.
Frozen 2 passes the Ayla test, which is it stars an indigenous woman, which it stars two, and she doesn't marry or get assaulted by a white man. I mean, she doesn't use the word assaulted. I'm just making it a kinder way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Elsa doesn't rely on no man, and she's an indigenous woman, and it passes the Ayla test. Yep. The movie explains it.
She's okay.
Part Sami, which is indigenous to that area. But yeah, this Christmas Chronicles would rather talk about other movies than this one.
Same.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it. Yeah, like I said in the beginning, it, you know, it's kind of right there in the middle. There's a lot worse, but at the same time, there's a lot better. So
there's no kisses, no dress reveals. I'm out, skis.
You know what? There probably was a dress reveal in the musicals number.
Oh, with Darlene Love.
Yeah, I fast forwarded it this time because.
I didn't fast forward. I just don't remember.
So much. Oh, man. Well, cool. But this was fun. I still had a fun time discussing this and
like what learning. Happened? There was what in there?
Yeah. Wow. I really just thought, you know, that I must have fallen asleep for 10 minutes.
It kind of reminded me of like a Silver Age comic book where like everything happens. You know, and it's like nowadays they kind of streamline it. The writing is a lot smarter. But in the Silver Age, it was like, you know, oh no. And now we're time traveling back to the era of, you know, I mean, it's so ridiculous, you know, some of those plots and going back and reading like some of those early Avengers and X-Men stuff. I mean, it's just they're out there. And so it kind of reminds me of that. And maybe that's why I kind of still dig it, because, you know, there's still, you know, like I said, I'm a comic book guy.
But still, I mean, it's there's good ingredients, yeah. But it's just the recipe is there, but you know, the souffle just didn't rise.
Yeah, it's good. I like that.
All right, Jerry, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, so I have a show called Totally Rad Christmas where we talk all things 80s. You know, if it was gnarly in, you know, at Christmas time in the 80s, and we got it covered there. You know, toys, books, specials, movies, music, fads, anything.
But not Boston,
because apparently, you know, airports and Boston just,
yeah,
you know, get out of here. But so I mean, you know, it's just I grew up in the 80s. I love the 80s because it reminds me of my childhood and when I didn't have to pay bills. And so let's talk about that era. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I'm on every place you can find podcasts. So Totally Rad Christmas. Hit me up.
Nice.
Yay. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun talking to you ladies.
Oh gosh. Oh no, the elves are back. Oh no. They've come with Christmas lights this time. And it's even stronger than tinsel.
Come on, save me.
Oh no. Oh Jerry. Oh no, the elves took them.
They took him back to the 80s.
Took him back to the 80s.
Time twister. But yeah. So this episode gets released on December 9th. And December 9th in the evening, we're actually, Scarlett and I are going to be on a show on Twitch. You can check out the website austin.nerdnight, nerdnite.com. And we're going to be talking about Christmas romance movies and how cookie cutter that shit is. And then our friend Jill, a friend of the podcast, Jill Friedman, she's also going to be doing a presentation on Hanukkah and how it's the Jewish Cinco de Mayo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, I hope that you guys, you know, of course, 'tis the season. Please, you know, support, like, whatever you can give this season. It is the season of giving, and we've given you our time and our love. But you know, in either case, whether you give or not, I hope you have a very merry Netflix.
Have a very merry Netflixmas.
Nailed it.
What's up, dudes? I'm Jerry D of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, books, fashion, and fads.
If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, he's got it covered. Wait, is there a lot of things to talk about for the 80s and Christmas?
Well, you got the movie giants like Christmas Vacation, Scrooged, and A Christmas Story. There are TV specials like Muppet Family Christmas, Claymation Christmas Celebration, and a Garfield Christmas Special.
Plus classics shown every year.
You also jam out to Last Christmas, Do They Know It's Christmas, and Christmas in Hollis. But most of all, it was a time for the most bodacious, best-selling Christmas toys ever, like He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers...
And Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yes, them too. We cover them all, plus much more, including standard segments like Hap Hap Happiest Memory, Gag Me with the Spoon, The Other Half of the Battle...
And Chant with the Littles.
So tune in to Totally Rad Christmas everywhere you get your podcasts. Turn the clock back and dive into those warm and fuzzy memories.
Later, dudes.